This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Wednesday, September 17th, a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for the day. Today, we have Logos Hope, the world's largest floating books fair in studio. No, we don't have the boat in studio.
Nor the books
are in studio, but we have representative of Logos Hope. In studio, we have Jolsey and Rocher. I hope I pronounced the word right, their names right, because one is from Paraguay, and next one is from India. And you see me trying to write their names in syllables, you know, say Jolsey, Jolsey, and Rocher. And I'm hoping I'm pronouncing these words right, because people like who dyslexic like me and who's mispronounce all kind of words, things go AY, right? But I'm excited that you're here. I'm excited when you pass through the Bahamas. The Logos Hope is a big thing when it comes through here. But we want to know about it, right? The listening audience want to know, what is Logos Hope? Why are you in the Bahamas? When will the boat dock? Because I heard you're going to Grand Bahama first, and then you're supposed to come to New Providence, and I'm not sure where you're sailing off that. But I want to have a narrative of what is Logos Hope, right? And then, again, why you chose the Bahamas, and what all you'll be doing whilst you're in the Bahamas. So from anyone, you can start.
Sure.
Rocher, you can start?
Yes. Well, good morning, everyone. We are very excited to be here. I am Rocher, and I come from the Logos Hope. The Logos Hope is the world's largest floating book fair. It's recorded by the Guinness World Book Records. And the Logos Hope has been to over 150 countries, more than 500 different ports, and we go from country to country sharing knowledge, help, and hope. That is our mission.
You live on the boat?
I do.
Okay. You live on a boat too?
I do.
Okay. It's like a cruise ship. Go ahead. Good work.
We wish. Yeah.
Yes, Go ahead.
So, the book fair offers more than 5,000 different titles. We have books for all ages, all categories, and we also do community outreaches. We do different events on the ship. So we have given a tagline to our visit here in Nassau. We call it more than just a book fair. And so as we come into Nassau, I would say as we come into Bahamas, first, the ship is coming to Freeport. That is tomorrow.
Ship is coming tomorrow and it's going to be at Freeport.
Yes.
And you were here early basically to introduce and let everybody know that the ship coming.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So we have two teams. We are the project managers for Nassau, me and Josie, and we have another team in Freeport already preparing for the ship's arrival there. So yeah, the ship comes tomorrow to Freeport, and then on the 2nd of October, it will come to Nassau.
I see. I remember going on the boat, right? But it was been a while back.
Yeah.
So I need to be reminded on what's the objective of this whole thing.
Yep.
You're a boat that has books, right?
Yep.
Why did this start it?
Right. So just to give a brief context about the Logos Hope itself, this is a vessel that is run by volunteers. These volunteers are almost 300 right now living on the ship.
Jolsey, you don't get paid?
I do not get paid.
My gosh.
And I'm a nurse.
You're a nurse. I need to sit my girl on this boat and do some community. My gosh. Go ahead. Continue. Yeah.
So as I said, you know, we are people from 65 different countries living on the ship. There are families on the ship. There are bachelors like us on the ship. And we have committed to serve with the Logos Hope for whatever period of time that is, maybe that's a year or two, because we believe in the message that it carries about sharing knowledge, help, and hope. We believe that we have continued to receive a lot. We focus on a lot of what can I receive, what can I get from it. But these efforts are more towards reaching out to the communities. What can I offer? What can I share? And that is basically the essence of the ship doing what it is doing, providing literature, providing intercultural exchange. Well, you come on the ship and you speak to one of our people on board, you will find out that they are from a different country than yours. They will tell you more about where they come from, what food they eat. And this is just a cultural exchange that we offer as well. And at the heart of it is also to share a story of hope. A story of hope where we have experienced what God's love looks like. And so we also want to share it with the people that we go around. We want to share through our stories, our personal efforts, and also portray in the things that we do, not just the book fair.
So let me speak to Josie before we start talking about your interaction here in the Bahamas and what you'll be doing in the Bahamas, what's going to be happening in Grand Bahama, then New Providence proper. I want to know, Josie, how did you get on the ship? Just in case some Bahamians say, man, I could do that. You know, you were living in Paraguay, right?
Yes.
And you're a nurse, you're a professional, right? And all of a sudden now you're on the ship. Like, how did that happen? And why did that happen? And if I'm a Bahamian and I'm listening, say, man, I may be interested in that. Tell us the process, just in case anyone listens and say, let me go and write and inquire.
So for me, the story started like way back. I think you chose from us two the one that has the longer story, because in 12 years ago, I chose...
You've been on a ship for 12 years?
No.
Scare me.
12 years ago, I joined for 2 years.
Okay.
To serve on board, and we were in the region of Asia. And yeah, just this experience for me was a life-changing one. And I saw so much, and my spectrum just broadened so much, and I was like, I want to go again. I want to serve again. So I went study to become a nurse, and when I was looking at options to go and serve again, it brought me back to the ship to serve again on the Logos Hope.
So, give me the narrative on how you applied. Like, now, pictures me. Like, I want to work on the ship. What do I do?
So we have actually the organization Operation Mobilization. They are our recruiting partners. So through them, you can do the recruiting process. They have like an interview, but you have to have supporters because this is not for free. We are as well raising funds to have our own support to be able to live on board. It's not just I just decide I want to go and then it goes from there. There is a whole process behind it. And that is how I ended up on board. And I served for until recently as a nurse. And then I changed to become a project manager, project coordinator for this visit here in Nassau.
Okay. And Rochea, give me a narrative on what happens on the boat on like a daily operation. Mm-hmm. I know you had to fly here,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
In advance.
Yeah.
But like you're on the boat and you're sailing. Right. So we're coming to the Bahamas soon.
Mm-hmm.
Like your counterparts, they're on the boat coming here now.
Right.
What is the regular operation
Or
what happens?
Definitely. So as we said, you know, we have people from 65 different countries, almost 300 people. And you would wonder, what do they do on the ship? On the ship, we have various departments. You know, it is an organization. It's literally like a small village, a floating village. And so we have galley team, that is the kitchen team. We have engine, we have deck, we have book fair, iCafe, administrational offices, project managing teams, and so many different departments. So when volunteers join Logos Hope, they are put to serve in one of these departments. And that's what they do kind of full time. 9 to 5, you are working for 5 days a week. One day is what we call a community outreach day, where we go and connect with the locals, do programs with them, and then one day is an off day. So that is what kind of, in a nutshell, life on board looks like.
I go in on the fishing team.
Fishing.
Yeah, because in the way I live on a boat and I can't fish.
Okay, I can't fish. I'm in the ocean. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So now you're the project managers.
Yes.
You're here for you two are here for New Providence,
mm-hmm.
and there's another project management team that is in Grand Bahama.
Right.
So what are the project management team in Grand Bahama doing now,
mm-hmm.
as the boat soon docks? And
right.
then when the boat docks, what
mm-hmm.
happens?
So these teams come to the island whenever the ship is going to arrive to a country, like 5 to 8 weeks in advance, a project managing team is sent to the country to start preparing. So the team in Freeport is already been there for over 5 weeks now, and they are preparing for all these different aspects that we talk about, sorting the permissions to open the book fair to the public, immigrations, customs. We talk about community outreach programs, partnering with organizations, partnering with churches, partnering with schools, and all of these different administrations, organizations. That's what they've been doing so far. They also get on shows like us to promote the visit, be involved in promoting the ship's visit. And so now, as the ship is coming in, I would say the final preparations are, yeah, just tying up the loose ends and just being excited for the ship to come.
Now, talk about excited and jealous at the same time, right? So I'm so glad to hear you all have a NASA coordinator. Yes. Because the article I found, if you all want to read up on it, world's largest floating book fair returns to Grand Bahama this week, right?
Yes.
But they didn't mention NASA. I know where you're going to, I'm going to access the boat in Grand Bahama via the north gate of Freeport Harbor, right?
Mm-hmm.
But where's the boat docking in New Providence, and how mm-hmm. do I access it if I'm a Nassauvian?
Mm-hmm.
So we're actually going to be in the cruise port here in Nassau
okay.
from the 2nd of October, but we're going to be open from the afternoon on the 3rd of October.
Okay.
So anybody who is interested to come, you can come with friends, with family, and we have the first part of the port is going to be the
don't worry
where
about
the entrance is.
Yeah, but we'll figure it out once we know it's a cruise port.
Exactly.
Now, $2 admission for adults?
$2, right. Yes.
Children free?
Children under 12 is free, and above 65 adults is free.
Okay, now, it's something else I read in this article, and I need you all to clear this up to me.
Mm-hmm.
It says, books will be discounted by up to 80%. So I can find some 10% off, some 20% off, some 25% off, some 50% off, and then I can find some 80% off on a few select items?
So the books on the ship are already 70% discounted price from its original MRP.
Okay.
I think that's what it's trying to say. And
then
also on the ship, when you come, you will have books and souvenirs at a discounted price.
Aye for that. See, right now, we are entering the new school year. We're doing an assessment of both the old grades, the grades from the last year, and the start of the new school year, which feeds into what they're going to achieve at the end of the year. And we all about the place encouraging a culture of appreciation for education and for reading.
And for reading.
And for reading.
What type of books can I purchase? I know you say there's 70% discount. I know you. It's an experience. You go on the boat and you speak to the staff and interact with the staff, and they talk to you about the books or whatever it is. I mean, one time, I'm sure it's like 5 years ago, I saw Miles Monroe book on there. You know, I was proud, right? Because I know him. He's
listen, I was in Zambia at the conference, the Commonwealth Law Association conference, and Miles Monroe books was everywhere.
Yes. It's a proud moment.
Right.
What type of books can I find there? Because I'm coming now with my children. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know how much money I need to bring.
Right.
What I'm coming to target. Mm-hmm. Right? Are they school books? Are these religious books? Mm-hmm. What type of books in general?
Mm-hmm. So as I said, you know, the book fair has more than 5,000 different book titles. So what types of books? You can have books of all sorts of things. Just talk about cooking or arts and crafts or education or religious or hobbies, novels. You just name
it. I'm going to ask, so the things that we typically can't find here, like history books and I would say like novelty books, specialty books, things like I want to know what these. We do a lot of straw work, but I realize a lot of indigenous cultures do straw work. I would know if I can find books about people who was doing straw work in the 1700s or the 1800s, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Just a massive range of things.
Yeah, we are trying to always have books for every age, for every person that comes, but very, very specific, like let's say just about health or just about something like very specific that would only target one that we have many different books, but it's so specific sometimes you won't be able to find. But then there is a variety of different choices of topics And what I love as well is the section of leadership. There's a lot about good leadership books.
Okay, all right.
Now, I want to know, how big is this boat? Like, mm-hmm. it's like 1-2 decks? How, I'm trying to see, when I'm coming on this boat, what will I be expecting?
Right. It's definitely not a cruise ship. So people often confuse...
With a promenade deck, I wouldn't be able to shuffle board. Go ahead.
Well, the ship is 132 meters long, and it has 9 decks, including an open deck, which we have. It's called the funnel of the ship, where, you know, all... It's a technical term. And 9 decks. So when you come, you will see it's a big boat, but not as big as the cruise ships that you would see every day.
All right. I just need a place to read. First of all, Josie already tell me I owe, so very politely, Josie, when I come on this ship, don't charge me no money to come read these books. And then don't get mad when I bring my chair and set it up on the promenade. We make our own promenade and we go read. Because I can't buy all the books, but right. I can try read all the books. Mm-hmm.
We actually have a section that is, we call it the iCafe, the International Cafe.
Okay.
So
mm-hmm.
you will be very welcome there. We have chairs. You won't need to bring your own chair.
Okay.
And we have coffee. You can just sit down, chill out there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, there was a particular note in the article mm-hmm. about footwear and clothing. You know, we're not on a cruise ship, right?
Yeah.
I imagine a boat has been refurbished.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me what I need to bring to be safe. Walking up the gangplanks and moving on the boat.
We would suggest that you would wear a pair of shoes. Don't come in sandals. You know, you are entering.
No open toe
footwear. We would also ask if we could just have like a casual clothing, no topless.
No beach gear.
Yeah, just a casual, normal lifestyle clothing.
Now, you're at the port, right? There'll be plenty of tourists about.
Right.
Are tourists invited to come on board as well?
Definitely. It's open for everyone. We will also receive a lot of tourists as well.
Because if I go on vacation with my children and I see a book boat?
Yeah.
A book boat? That has boats. It's something. Go ahead.
Yeah. If I find a book boat?
The book boat.
Yeah. Bookship.
Finally.
Yes. We're making a stop there.
Yeah,
we're making a stop there.
Definitely.
This is because I can tell them, look here, see if you could find a book about mm-hmm. the Bahamas, a book about the country we go into next on this mm-hmm. cruise ship or whatever.
Yep.
It just could be curated into all kinds of different experiences.
Mm-hmm.
So let's remind us, because we have people from Grand Bahama who listens to us all the time, right?
Right.
So remind us, when will you be in Grand Bahama? And then remind us, when will you be in New Providence?
In Grand Bahama, the ship comes tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
But when is it available to the public?
It will open, I think it's opening day after tomorrow. So when the ship comes to a country, we have an official opening ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's happening probably day after tomorrow for Grand Bahama.
So that's Friday the 19th,
yes.
Okay.
Oh, I want to hear about official opening because, you know, they don't invite me to nothing. Aaron gets invited to all of the parties. But tell me what an official opening, what is that about?
Yeah.
And who comes to that?
Right. For the official opening to Nassau as well, we have sent out invitations for guest of honors to the Ministry of...
You get an invitation, Aaron?
No. I could read already. I could read already.
Okay.
I don't need an invitation.
I just want to be able to go right away. You have a food at the opening?
We do have finger food, yeah.
I could swim.
Let me see you on the deck and they invite me on the deck.
But
I could be like that boy in Montgomery.
I have friends on the boat. I have Jolsey and Rocher and they didn't invite me. I have friends there. And no, right. Finish telling me about the opening. Go ahead.
So we are inviting all the ministries. We have invited the Prime Minister to be guest of honor. Still awaiting confirmation. We have invited the Deputy Prime Minister. We have invited the Minister of Foreign Affairs, Minister of Education, all those government officials. We have also invited a lot of our partners and companies that we are organizing.
Talk about your partners. What do you mean by partners?
Hold on.
Sure.
If you Logos Hope, you partners with the Logos
bookstore
here in the country?
Oh, sometimes people confuse, but we are not the same organization.
Okay. That's all right.
Yes.
Two of y'all love books.
Yes.
And I love the two of y'all.
Yes.
So let's talk about
Logos
your partners.
Logos actually means book. That is why it is a very common
in which
name.
Language?
Greek,
I think it's Greek.
It's Greek. Logos means word.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Word.
Look, use a Logos reader, Aaron. See?
Yeah.
You didn't know
I don't even like how you said that. I don't know what it means and I am upset.
Because you don't speak Greek. I speak Greek.
Just a brief.
I speak history. Crack Kong though.
Okay. Yeah.
Go ahead.
The Greeks invented crack Kong.
Oh.
Like they brought it here to the Bahamas.
Okay.
Yeah, so we celebrate them for that.
Wow. Yeah, as Josie was saying, logos means word, like Greek. And so when we say logos hope, it's a word of hope. You know, that is what we kind of promote as well. But anyways, coming back to the partners, that's a very good question. And you know, here in NASO, we are partnering with not just organizations, but ministries. And I would say we are partnering with the Ministry of Education. Josie will explain a bit more about that. We are partnering with the Ministry of Social Services. The Ministry of Tourism is also going to be one of our big partners here in NASO. And apart from these ministries, we are also partnering with churches. We are partnering with organizations such as the Salvation Army, you know, doing community outreach. So those are a few of the partners. And of course, Executive Printers of Bahamas giving us discount on our flyers and stuff. And, you know, we are partnering with the Sign Man who is helping us promote the ship's visit. We are partnering with local media stations, the Tribune, The Guardian, and all of these people making sure that the ship is promoted on the island. Each of you have a chance to come and visit the ship.
Because one of the biggest barriers for parents is cost of books, right? Parents understand children need to read. Mm-hmm. They understand you need to inundate them with books. Mm-hmm. But they don't understand how they could afford to do that, right? And so any opportunity to access books, discounted books, we are all celebrating it. I want to say thank you to all the local partners. Man, Mr. Nure, I can't even row a ministry right now. I just have to be like overwhelmed and overjoyed that they are partnering and making themselves available for the vibe. It's such a wonderful vibe.
So, Josie, go ahead.
Yeah, so actually for us, it is a great passion of ours that we want to bring this love for books to kids as well. So we are partnering with the Ministry of Education and we've been working on 4 school visit days. So on those days, the schools can sign up to come and visit the ship completely for free. And these kids come with their teachers. They will they will just be able to come on board and see this amount of books, just browse through them and get a little bit of an excitement for these paper books instead of just working through social media or like being on screens all the time. And this way we are hoping to bring knowledge as well, to increase their knowledge about this knowledge that you can find in books, right?
For people who want to support kids participating, right, by making donations,
right,
can I, just a random member of the public, go to the Ministry of Education or come to the boat and say, hey, I put $100 in this envelope.
Mm-hmm.
I just pay for books until it run out.
Right.
Can we do that? Can the public do that?
Definitely they can. And what we would recommend is once the ship is here or even before the ship, if you're thinking of making a donation, if you're thinking of partnering with us financially, come and speak to us. We are on social media platforms, you know, Logos Hope NASO on Instagram, Logos Hope NASO on Facebook. You have our contacts there. I am Ruchir. Get in touch with me and I will get in touch with you with our management team on the ship, making sure that your resources are stewarded wisely.
I'm thinking about the kids who come in on and I'm happy that you're making space for allowing Bahamian kids to get on board.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming that books will be for sale for them. See if they see any books. What type of money is like typical book, especially like kids' books? Just to make sure they have pocket money. I got to give my child money, you know?
I think that was a good question that we also discussed with the Ministry of Education while we were having this conversation of, okay, school visits, how much money should the kid bring?
Mm-hmm.
And we would say somewhere around $15 to $20.
Okay.
Is good because you're not asked to pay any entrance fee.
Mm-hmm.
You just come in, buy a book or two, and then you can also have some popcorn and ice cream at our international cafe.
Oh, you have, you have popcorn and ice cream too for sale?
Exactly. We say we have international cafe, and so that's open for all age groups. People love just coming in and having a coffee or ice cream. And so speaking for the kids, this is what we would suggest, $15 to $20. I think it should be.
And I can buy popcorn and buy 3 or 4 or 5 books at the same time. Yeah. Okay, that's affordable. I just want to know what type of money I give. Slip to the chat.
And send them with a bag. Make sure they have a bag to put the books in. Right? So keep them safe. Sling it over their back. Don't lose them. Mm-hmm. Because, Yuri, I will admit it.
Mm-hmm.
I may have thiefed a book or two in my life.
Yeah.
I've had books thieved.
Like books.
I've had books stolen from me, and I can understand why, right?
Right.
Like, and I may have misappropriated a book or two.
Just one or two.
And so you're mad, but you can't get mad at people because they want to read that book really, really badly.
We actually give the kids, or whoever is going to buy something, they will get the bag if they would like. Okay, so they will
have a nice little satchel to put their haul, their booty in. The goodies. Remember the Scholastic Book Club at school? Remember that?
I didn't like to read. Remember my dyslexic?
I didn't ask you if you liked it. I just asked you if you remembered it.
No, I don't remember that. Now you say math exam and quiz papers, I might be in that club.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know me and you's friends. Anyway, so my days of the Scholastic Book Club and always sort of being anxious, not having enough money, but if I told my parents, hey, I'd like to get this, they would try and sort it out. And I wish that experience for all kids, right? Sure. The joy of being overwhelmed and inundated with books and words and images and new stories and new experiences and the potential for new lives.
So Friday the 19th, you'll be docked in New Providence. As 19 no, or
that's in
Grand Bahama. So when will you be docked in New Providence?
In New Providence, 2nd of October, that's when the ship arrives. 3rd of October is the official opening. And then from 1 p.m. onwards, we will open to the public. Okay. But please note, Wednesdays is off. Wednesdays, the ship will be closed.
Okay.
So apart from Wednesdays, on Sunday and Monday, the ship will be open from 1 p.m. to 10 p.m. And from Tuesday to Friday, it will be open from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m.
10 p.m.
10
okay,
p.m.
Good.
Yes. I could do that like a night out with the children. Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go to the book ship. Yeah. Walk through and get ice cream.
Yeah,
I like that.
And you know what happened? What ends up happening every port that we go to? We make so good friends with the local people there that every day we have people just coming back and having conversations. Yeah. And it's not a one-time thing, you know. You can keep on coming to the ship.
I can't look at 5,000 titles in one day.
Exactly.
But I'm glad I have a number of days to come back over and over again to check out the catalog.
Right. Good. But let's do a summary again. Give us all the information as we go to our commercial break on what's happening on September 19th and then October 3rd. Go ahead.
Okay. So the ship comes on the 2nd of October, opens to the public from the 3rd of October.
In New Providence.
In New Providence, Nassau, till the 19th of October. That'll be our last.
For a while.
Yeah.
Okay.
Almost 2 weeks.
And I gotta be rushing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And so we will also then, as we said, do community outreaches, different programs. You want to know more? Come talk to us.
Have you finalized on outreaches or can some church members contact you and say, hey, you could come and partner with us or something?
We are in this stage of finalizing.
Yeah, actually, that is my part of the job. So I am contacting a lot of partners, but as well, we're still open to receive more messages. And if schools want to visit, our information are on social media, so we are very open to receive more.
Every school needs to come and visit. Mm-hmm. You're here for a month, just pinpoint a day and come in on this day.
Yeah.
And you say, go on your Facebook page and get in contact with you all.
Yes.
And what's the Facebook page again?
The Facebook page is Logos Hope Nassau, and the Instagram page is Logos Hope Nassau Official.
And I can contact and speak with you all?
Yes, you can just DM us, you can find our contacts there, and then you can just get in touch with us. And just to finish off, we are also having events on the ship. We are having a cultural fair on the 18th of October. And then we are also having a One Voice gospel concert on the 5th of October.
There's a price for that?
No price for that. It's free of cost.
Gospel concert for free.
Yes,
okay.
Chris.
I like that. Okay. Want to go to that, Aaron?
I want them come and do some outreach at my raccoon refuge.
She has pet raccoons.
I know they want me to pet them, but I ain't foolish.
Yeah.
I ain't foolish at all.
Have you all ever have experience capturing raccoons?
No. Not so much.
And what about chick charnies?
No.
Look, we got some new books to submit. Can local authors add their books to your catalog?
Yes, we have a few authors who have contacted us to publish their books, to donate their books, I would say.
Okay, that's a big thing.
And so if you want to, just get in contact with us.
Good.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, if you're Bahamian, you have a lot of books, and you want to donate a Bahamian book to be on the ship, reach out. Anyway, thank you very much, Jolsey, and thank you very much, Rishia. It's a pleasure. Again, these are Logos Hope. and it's the world's largest floating book fair, and they come into Grand Bahama first, and they come into Nassau, and they have a number of activities they plan to do while they're here, right? Or should you listen to the music that I was playing? Okay, this has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Neary. We'll be right back.
Think about the things I did, and I want to do
Wait,
some
you know
more.
What's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Wait, he fooled with Joe girl?
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't bark down for nothing. So that means he got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you on?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. You gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody call me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I wait?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me? Uh-uh.
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then you can get the pin from them, and they can claim a reward later using that same pin.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you're saying.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Just sign in and have a seat, please. They'll call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner today.
Nothing beats a Chicchani challenge. On September 27th, we're bringing the action, a 5K course packed with 20 thrilling obstacles. Start and finish at Fusion Superplex with energy, fun, and excitement all around. First time? No problem. Try the Chicchani Light version, built just for beginners. Got kids? Ages 3 to 7 can take on their very own Chicchani Kids Challenge. And this year, we're turning 10. So grab your team, mark your calendar, and come celebrate with us. Visit ChicchaniChallenge.com to sign up today. Thanks to our sponsors, Fusion Superplex, Guardian Radio 96.9, Kalina, RBC, Advantage Insurance, Party Pilots Rentals and Events, Fincastle Media Group, Powerade, Calic, and Art of Graphics.
Are you searching for something new? Something exciting? Your dream job in paradise? Well, look no further. Royal Beach Club Paradise Island is hiring. Join a dynamic group of passionate hospitality professionals, craft unforgettable moments, and thrive in a vibrant, welcoming atmosphere. Play your part in shaping the future of our team while growing your own career every day. Bring your energy, your passion, and your creativity to a workplace that's as dynamic and fun as you are. At Royal Beach Club Paradise Island, the opportunities don't just exist. They're limitless. So are you ready to find your perfect fit? Visit Royal Beach Club at paradiseisland.com/career today and step into a world of exciting possibilities.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Been waiting for a long, long time. I can't believe it's true.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. Of course, there was a brief delay because we had to take pictures. We got to take pictures with the international guests, you know? And, you know, I'm not a celebrity. Social person. I don't even know. What do you call that? Socialite. I'm a socialite now. People's like, take pictures with me all over the place. I go to church. I got to shake hand. I go to fairs. I got to shake hand. But yet, I have yet to be invited to any official opening of nothing. Even Logos didn't invite me. I'm still waiting on the embassy to invite me to that shindig of the opening. Taste of good food. I like to eat. You should invite me so I could take advantage of the good food. And like, I'm a good conversationalist. I could nod my head and agree. So hopefully I'm invited to this Logos big opening so I can see what type of food they have. Right? Yeah. But anyway, we can transition now to education. I want to ask Aaron whether we have an educational crisis, and not just the educational part in terms of grades. I'm talking about management of the educational resources, management of the entire interaction with the Bahamas. You know, education is not just for children, but in terms of moving the Bahamas forward in terms of being enlightened as a people, in terms of creating new systems, in terms of the systems being, people are able to be plugged into the systems. And that's what I want to talk about, the crisis. Recently, the Minister of Education said that we have a shortage of English teachers. That bothered me. And people said, well, why? These things happen. So no. We did a SWOT analysis before school opened to say if we'll be ready when school opened on September 1st. And nobody told me that we were short. And see, what bothered me was dire need. If she said, man, we short one or two teachers, 12 teachers, I guess I can understand that these things happen. But when you use the word dire, we're in dire need of English teachers. That means they knew had to know that beforehand. Right? How can we be in dire need of English teachers? I even understand dire need of Spanish teachers because that's hard to source, right? That and everybody, right? Even a dire need for science teachers. I can see it for the Family Islands because no one want to go there. But throughout the Bahamas, a dire need for English teachers, that's management issue, man. That's a poor management of resources. And I don't know, that's what I'm asking, Aaron. Are we in a crisis? And if we're in a crisis, we got to be in a crisis mode in terms of responding. And if we're not in crisis mode, or we're not in a crisis, then things happen as usual.
All right. Despite the fact that we're obviously not in crisis mode, we're definitely in a crisis. I'm gonna just share one thing. Remember I tell you, it's me. I'm the problem, right? I'm the problem when I hear people use the word female or females in out of context, inappropriately, incorrectly, in the wrong way. When I hear people say things like fishes and shrimps it's me. I am the problem. However, in this instance, I'm not the problem. There's Bahamian Standard English, mm-hmm. and there's British Standard English. We teach to British Standard English. We don't teach test Bahamian Standard English, we teach British Standard English. So it's important that students understand British Standard English because that's what the test is, right?
With American books. See, that complicated thing.
Yeah, because where did fruits come from?
I don't know. Fruits is plural.
No, fruit is plural.
But fruits is plural in America.
Yeah, all kinds of things are plural in America. Yeah. I'm not quite certain. But let me tell you the key indicator that we are in an education crisis is when I think it was the deputy director or a senior administrator in the Ministry of Education when talking about the truancy exercise, right? Mm-hmm. So they conducted an exercise to try and capture truant students. Mm-hmm. And the senior administrator in the Ministry of Education said, we would have gone on a walkabout and we found 12 children. And I just wanted to, we would have gone on a walkabout and we found 12 students.
So they didn't go?
No, they went because they found the 12 students.
But they would have gone?
but they would have gone indicates that something prevented them from going.
The 12 students?
No, see, I know you was going to blame the students. I know, just like the ministry, you're going to blame the students for the bad results. Mm. But see, that's an indicator of a crisis. What do you mean? See, not just, okay, so not just that, right? A senior administrator said it. Before the senior administrator said it, we had people in the media saying it, and we had police officers saying it, mm-hmm. right? And then all of a sudden, it was just accepted as common. Most recent use of it was a technocrat, but I think they attended a climate change conference. Mm-hmm. And they said the same thing. We would have spoken to Indonesia. I was expecting them to tell me, but Indonesia didn't come to the meeting. Mm. This boy said they had a good time talking to Indonesia.
So I said, if we would have gotten the money from the UK airport thing, but did we get it? There you go. Let's go to the call. Oh, the caller gone. See, it's coming to you now, caller, but I had a beat. Aaron, I still want to talk about that in terms of whether we're in a crisis. And if we're in a crisis, that means we have to be in a crisis mode. I don't think that we're in a crisis
mode. No, we're not in crisis mode.
That means we're not taking it serious. There's no rapid response. There's no active response.
See, because when you said SWOT analysis, we did a SWOT analysis at the end of 2024, 2025 school year, and I would never have expected that there would be a shortage of teachers because nobody
dire
shortage of teachers because nobody mentioned it in the 2024-2025 SWOT analysis. This should have been acknowledged and mentioned 10 years ago. How long does it take to get a degree? So you get your BA, mm-hmm. then maybe you get a master's or a teacher's certificate, mm-hmm. right? So we're talking about, say, 5 years, mm-hmm. 6 years. Mm-hmm. 10 years would have given you sufficient time to have begun developing a resource of English teachers.
Yeah, there shouldn't be no shortage.
Because you knew there would be...
Nowadays, there's a shortage of Spanish teachers. I understand the political thing that we're going through. We can appreciate that.
Right. In a secondary, so listen, there are a couple of articles I read the titles of, including Rise in Students Unable to Speak English in Schools, says Wilson. Today's Notes, Hannah Martin says there's a dire shortage of English teachers. In this article, Ministry Looking to Hire More Special Needs Teachers. I got so mad at our cousin because she says the special needs teacher gap is part of a broader struggle with teacher shortages. This is what the article says. Mm. The special needs teacher gap is part of a broader struggle with teacher shortages, something Hannah Martin has noted is an international issue. If I do you like how my ancestors, my grandparents would have done me, I would require me grabbing you by your ear and twisting it and saying, what'd you just say?
Yeah.
So the people in the international world having the problem, which means that I shouldn't expect you to solve it locally?
They do it often. Let's go to this caller so the caller can engage us and speak on it. But I hate when they do that. Like, things are bad over there, so we should expect that things to be bad over here too. And that means I'm not going to respond and find a solution because things are bad over there. It's global. It's a global issue. But we are a small nation. We can solve our issues easily. If we know that there's a short of English teachers, what you do? You give scholarship for people who will major in English.
And you incentivize it and you raise the pay.
Yeah, man. Let's go to the first caller. Guardian Radio AM. We're talking whether there's a crisis in education. The teachers are complaining that they can't even communicate with some students. The students them speaking different languages. And they want to know what the government is doing to help them with that. Go ahead, caller.
Start me?
Yes, sir.
Oh, turn on radio.
Boy. Okay.
Raymond, you there?
Are you okay?
You'll call back. It doesn't sound like he fall out.
Okay, so let's talk about this, starting with the headline, Rise in Students Unable to Speak English in School, says
Wilson. And the key word or operative word is there's an increase or the rise. Mm. Because I'm sure schools always had children who does not speak English as their primary language.
Hold on. First of all, remember, we teach into the British standard, right? We teach into the British standard, which the majority of students go into the school not being able to speak the British standard.
No, I didn't think they talk about it. the teachers, I'm saying, would have too also. You would have got this information because I taught it already. That's our teachers. They speak in Bahamian English.
That's not the point. The point is that they're teaching to the British. See, are we in a crisis? Good. This is it right here. What did you just say? We're teaching to a British standard, and we have teachers who speak at the Bahamian standard, mm-hmm. and they mad at the Haitian children who don't speak English. You're not even speaking the standard you're supposed to be teaching. But that's not the answer. That's not the response to this issue. I'm just making a point. The response to the issue is this, right? Like you said, if you say there's an increase, it means you've already acknowledged there's been an experience of this happening. Mm-hmm. So we don't have, given what exists today and what the government says it is doing, right, which is focused on expanding the labor pool, focused on expanding the, what they call that, the tax base, and focused on expanding the genetic base per Mr. Fred Mitchell, mm-hmm. right, then would you mean we don't have early learning centers and kindergartens that are primarily for ESL, English as a second language students? What do you mean we don't have first and second grade classes that are ESL specific, English as a second language? And what do you mean we don't have after school and intra school, like in breaks and whatever, tutoring for ESL students?
And let's expand on that. And coming to you now, caller. If there were one or two people who couldn't speak English or English, uh-huh. what was the system beforehand? What would they used to do? And no one can explain to the public, so well, when we only had five of them, we used to do this. Now that we have 30 of them, we will expand the program. There seems to be no program. So what did they do to those students who were there before? When I was younger, I'm not sure if you know that, I think the Catholic school hosted it was basically Haitian-based, right?
Mm-hmm.
They had a transitional type school where they learned English. I'm not sure if that happened anymore.
I'm not sure either.
But you know what I'm talking about?
I think so, yeah. But here's the point that I want to make, right? That there is a crisis. The crisis is an administrative crisis, right? And I know people, it's like, listen, lots of concerns being...
Come on, prep the call.
Lots of concerns being raised by residents in Abaco, right? About an influx or a perception that the schools are being overrun by migrant children, right? But for me, when I read this article, Ministry Looking to Hire More Special Needs Children, and the teachers say, and in relation to the English, non-English speaking or ESL students, right, the teachers are saying something specific that the students that coming in, when we first get the students, they're not doing the basic testing, the vision and hearing testing, the learning capacity testing. That's not happening for any student.
Straight across the board.
That the migrants are here may exacerbate an existing crisis. And that's the point I want to make. Don't blame migrant children for the crisis. Their presence highlights, showcases, or makes it impossible to hide what is an existing crisis.
That's good to call it. But what about the government preschools? Don't we have like a preschool to prep them before they go to grade one?
Listen, we do, but you see the one on East Street right next to the liquor store that don't never stop playing loud music?
Yeah.
And the place right there?
They know how to sing, though. They know. Anyway, just go to call. Go ahead, Guardian Radio AM. You're live.
We need equality to this dark universe. We need justice, law, and order in this country, the Bahamas. We doesn't have any justice. We doesn't have any order, law that's in order. You know, it's just filthy. And the other thing is, right, when you look at the Family Islands, right, they're supposed to be getting the benefit of all the educational apparatus in which we have here in the Bahamas because they're distance away, you see? Are people just filled with apathy? Apathy. They are unconcerned about their own. And it makes me sick.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Raymond.
Thank you, Raymond.
See, I want to know whether we should do a SWOT analysis in reference to the Ministry of Education not knowing that we had a labor shortage in teachers. beforehand. Like, they should have told us before the first day of school that we will be short this amount of teachers. We're working on it. Now, they say special education teachers. What would be the solution? You just can't say we're searching for them because there's a limited amount. So those who are in country should be already employed. So that means when we say researching, that means they're going out of country, right? So, and hopefully more would assume that those who are out of country already employed too, because school already started, right? Now, when the government said that they are searching, they are actively searching, I'm not sure what that means, since most people, surely you can find one or two, but most people have already started their employment preschool year started. So it's going to be a tough search. We now have to start talking about 2026.
Oh, okay. Right? I thought we were going to start talking about figuring out how to penalize people for the dereliction of duty and the inability to do their job properly. It's a dereliction.
But 2026, what is now the government doing to be prepared for 2026? I'm assuming they have some kind of incentive program.
2026, 2027, 2028, 2029. Yeah. I mean,
what is the plan?
If all of the dynamics they say are impacting us are true, right? That other jurisdictions are providing more attractive packages and opportunities for Bahamians, right? If that's what they saying, why are you not making it more attractive locally?
Guyana has a lot of teachers. I mean, they have scores of teachers. They produce teachers. The education there is free, right? They produce teachers. If the United States is approaching our teachers, Bahamian teachers, shouldn't we be in Guyana shopping like crazy? Saying, hey, our practice is more attractive than whatever.
Did the U.S. give us permission to hire Guyanese teachers?
Yeah, we can't hire Cubans. We can hire Guyanese. They look like us. They just speak brackish. But we can understand them if you squint your ears. Yeah. We should be recruiting Guyanese teachers. That's my point.
Mm-hmm.
We should be recruiting them. Why haven't we done that?
Because they have oil now. And the Bahamas is looking like
we're still paying more money. Their minimum wage, our minimum wage is higher. We just tell them, come. Just come. We bring in 50 one time. Or we go to Africa. Them Ghana people. How do you say
Ghana? Ghanese? People?
The Ghanaian. Ghanaian. No,
Ghanaian.
We can hire them in droves. But we shouldn't be no shortage. We knew schools opening. We know these people I'm trying to get to the Bahamas and get our minimum wage or whatever the fee is. There shouldn't be no shortage.
I mean, I thought
we had the world as our oyster.
I thought the whole platform was that the Bahamas is the most attractive place to be in the Bahamas.
In the Caribbean, in Africa, all that.
Whether you're a tourist, whether you're a professional, the Bahamas is the most attractive place to be. I don't understand.
This is why it doesn't make sense.
I don't understand why I can't find the application form for the job that you don't have to do.
That's why it doesn't make sense. You know how much you're making teachers won't come here? The opportunity to say, I work here for 5-10 years and get the Bahamian paycheck? And you saying we still short? Something is wrong. I can't even squeeze this last call in. Is it finished? Maybe it finished. Let you summarize.
No, when you hear the gospel music, that means it's time for me to stop talking.
Yeah. Praise the Lord. But we're in crisis. And the excuses that our leaders are doing can't be tolerated. Because we had the option now to hire from abroad. We just didn't do it. That means we didn't follow the SWOT analysis and say, wait, we short 20 teachers. We're going to get them by shopping. We didn't shop. Someone need answers to that.
Maybe we can't read or count.
Perhaps. This has been Guardian Radio AM. I say we need to make noise.
The people in Abaco are very concerned.
What are you mad about? Quickly, we gotta go.
A lack of clarity and coherence of what's happening in Abaco in terms of the integration of migrants. Georgia.
Everybody in Abaco is Asian. I hope they know that. This has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Neary. Everybody, the whole island is Asian. Have a wonderful day.
And the clerk, well as moonlight.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.